It's time to tee it high and let it fly. This is the Edwin Watts Golf Hour, only on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Now, the Edwin Watts Golf Team.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
Hey, good morning, Jacksonville, Northeast Florida, and the greatest golf connection in the country in the Southeast United States. Welcome to this week's live episode of the Edwin Watts Golf Shop Radio Hour. I'm Tom Ashton, the old pro, with my partner, caddy Mike Correo, Chris in the box. And we are here once again to talk about golf. A lot of golf in the news, man. Tiger's record youngest, and we'll touch base on that. He's in the news a lot, and there's a new one on the scene this week that made the cuts, playing the CJ Cup, and it keeps going and going, doesn't it?
Younger and younger.
All right, so we are brought to you each week by Ping Golf. Play your best, and Edwin Watts Golf Shops, conveniently located. It's Phillips Highway and Shad Road on the south side, out of Ponte Vedra Beach, A1A and Butler, back at the Home Depot Plaza. Stop in and see the Watts gang and the Watts experts to take care of all your golfing needs, especially the new Ping product line, such as the G430 Max 10K driver, which was voted number one driver in golf. Okay, and, you know, we mentioned it earlier at the drive, chip, and putt up at Augusta. Mm-hmm. It seemed like all I saw on all the driving contest were the Ping drivers.
Yeah.
Okay. They've got fairways, irons, and they have the new Blueprint S, Blueprint T, and, of course, the brand new G730 and I530 irons to go along with the GLE3 ladies line and the juniors Prodigy junior clubs, where you can buy five Prodigy junior clubs.
Yeah.
The first time in one purchase, and that qualifies you for a free refit one time only from Ping Golf as your junior golfer grows. The new S159 wedges, which are doing phenomenal. And guess what? They just turned loose. A brand new addition to the Ping putter line.
Wow.
Okay.
PLDs or something new?
Oh, yeah. Something new. Mm-hmm. Something new. Something new. Something new. You got to go and check them out.
Okay.
They're the new Ping putters. The PLD are the custom ones. You know, they're the super high-end. You can
design.
Have them made any way you want, right?
Right, right.
Okay, so their new Ping putter line, they're going to have a full line available. Okay, and they have the different models, Answer 2, Answer D. That's a new one. It's a wider Ping answer.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. It's a wider from front to back.
Between, you know, the answer, but not a mallet, but just a little bit wider, maybe a higher MOI, something like that, if somebody wants something a little bit heavier, I suppose.
Right. And they keep running with the B60 design, which is one of the best putter designs
that was ever made.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
The Tine H, the Fetch, the Catch G, those are full mallet heads. And the cool thing about like the Fetch, it's got a hole in the butt putter. It not only gives you the alignment capabilities and the balance of the head, but the hole is easy to pick up the ball, you know?
Well,
you know, that's why I bought an answer many years ago, and it turned out
That isn't why you got the answer,
right.
But you could do it.
You could do it. The back of your putter,
you could pick that ball.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So you want to make sure you do that. I just retired my mid-1970s Ping Answer putter.
Okay.
And I've been working a long time, making sure I got the right model.
Is that going to go to like the Florida Golf Hall of Fame or something?
the National Golf Hall of Fame. Are you kidding?
The National.
I won't have a locker, but I'll have a putter maybe.
You'll have a putter in Missouri or someplace. Yeah,
all right.
Heck yeah.
But I did just get the Prime Tine number 4.
Oh, nice.
It's a wingback semi-mallet.
Uh-huh.
You could call it kind of a mallet, but it looks like the Starship Enterprise with the wings.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And played yesterday, got my first birdie with it, and I lipped out.
Probably your first putt.
I could have burned easily about six more birdies.
It's important to get fitted for your putters too, Tom. Absolutely important to get fitted.
So they got the Tine G and Tomcat 14. So check out the new Ping putter line at your local Edwin Watts Golf Shop. All right, Wolf Retirement Navigation, helping you find the retired fairways down the road, and of course University of North Golf Florida Golf Complex, where the junior summer camps I think they're underway. But anyway, if you want to find out more about it, they're underway. They started the 1st of May. It's May through August, ages 8 through 14, girls and boys. Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. It's $350 per week, includes full membership for the week. Okay. They have multiple discounts available. So you learn and develop. So you play every day, fundamentals for the full swing and short game. Critical.
And then they can practice and play the course.
Absolutely. The shoe. Fantastic. Par 3 9-hole golf course.
Yeah.
It's critical. They learn etiquette. Okay. They have fun with friends, make new friends. Okay. Mm-hmm. Water's provided. You bring
all
your own snacks.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Okay. And it's sponsored by Cookies and Cream Jack's Beach, the tastiest ice cream shop in town. Okay. So you can call for more info or sign up at Summer Camp Contact, Skylar Korsiak at 904-859-0696 or John Berardi, 904-571-7420, or the main number at 9 at UNF Golf Complex, 904-620-2050. And if you're looking for more in-depth lesson and want to work on your swing and fine-tune it, I am the golf detective, and I'm based at University of North Florida Golf Complex. So you can email golfdetective@yahoo.com or call or text 904-990-3377 and get started refining your golf swing and game today. Caddy Mike, what's been going on this week?
Well, speaking of UNF, the UNF men's golf team is going to the Arizona State hosted NCAA regional as the sixth seed. They're going out to Rancho Santa Fe, California at the Farms Golf Club, May 13th through 15th, so next week. From there, the top five teams will advance to the NCAA championship May 24th through 29th at one of my favorite old tracks, La Costa in Carlsbad, California. The low individual not on the top five teams also qualifies, Tom, if your team doesn't qualify. University of Florida Gators, the number three seed in West Lafayette, will be playing at Purdue University Golf Course. Kristen Eisenbeiss, I think that's right, Kristen, UNF ladies team has qualified as an individual, and she'll be headed to her regional in Bermuda Run, North Carolina. Congratulations again. We keep saying, you know, great things about Nick Galbrasik. Four straight year, he was named A-Sun Golfer of the Year. So congratulations to him, and good luck to all the local talent going for the NCAA championship qualifications.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those, you know, they do well in that. They get looked at. You know, there's a chance to pick up sponsors because obviously there's a lot of those individuals that are chasing their dream or their tour card down the road. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a lot of visibility. So we wish them all the best.
UNF and Scotty Schroeder, the coach, just a tremendous program, you know. And the other thing I've noticed, really great kids. If you talk to all these kids that come out of that school, the education is very important to him and the team. And all of the good things about golf are happening there. So we wish them all the best.
Yeah. I see them, you know, they're in and around the golfplex all the time, practicing, working. They're all just, you know, nice human beings. So it's great. Scotty Scheffler's done a great job in the selection and the leadership and the guidance. And I love it. All right, we got to go, I think, right here to our first break.
Breaks.
So don't go away.
Take
here.
A break.
You are listening to the Edwin Watts Golf Shop Radio Hour. I'm Tom, the old pro, Caddy Mike, Chris in the box. We're brought to you by Ping Golf and University of North Florida Golf Complex, and we'll be right back.
Live on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Edwin Watts Golf Hour on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
We are back, and thank you so much. And guess what? We'd also like to recognize the Edwin Watts Golf Shop on the south side, Phillips Highway and Shad Road, located 1 mile north of the Avenues Mall on Phillips Highway. 2024, they were voted and earned the award, the prestigious award of the Ping Power Fitter of the Year.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, hey.
That is, when you got the greatest equipment, the company that invented custom fitting, and they put you at a special level. Kudos to your son, who's a great fitter out there, Brandon, and all their staff over there. That's tremendous. That means the customer feedback is great and they're doing a great job. And I've said this a lot, you know, getting fit and having custom fit golf clubs improves your life if that's your favorite thing to do, hobby. You know, I mean, the amount of time people spend playing with their friends, stuff like that, if they can get out there and have more fun playing, which is the goal of this show and the goal of Ping Golf, boy, it makes your life better, man. And that's a big deal.
Hey, we're all about golf here. So,
yes,
hey,
sir.
When you
having fun.
When you stop by your local Edwin Watts Golf Shop, also check out, it's still happening, but it's getting slimmer. Check out the apparel sale that's going on. It's an orange dot apparel sale. So what that means is that if you find a green tag clearance apparel that has an orange dot on it,
okay,
you can take and you want to buy it,
yeah,
you can take an additional 30% off that green tag price.
Fantastic. So, I know they got tons of sales, golf balls, shoes. If you're somebody who likes to walk, they got great golf carts, lightweight carry bags, all kinds of stuff, Tom.
A to Z, largest available golf inventory in the world. Worldwide Golf, Edwin Watts Golf Shop, and we got Rick on the line. Hey, good morning, Rick. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. I have a question about how to play a shot. You're familiar with Marsh Creek down in St. Augustine, right?
I have. I have not played it for quite a while, but I'm a little familiar with it.
Okay, so number six is a short par four, dogleg left,
mm-hmm,
pretty much a layup. I had a full gap wedge into a front pin, and it was all, I had about 5 yards of fluff, or if I'm short, I'm into the bulkhead and into marsh. So it's a tough shot when the pin's up. But if my drive had run through the fairway, and I was in the first cut, and it was just sitting up a bit. And, it was a full wedge, but I hit it just a touch high on the club face and, you know, carried the bulkhead by about 2 feet. How do you play a shot like that? There's no room behind the green. You one bounce if you're long on that angle, and you go over the back into the water. So, I mean, how many yards
roughly are you?
So I had
on that one.
97,
mm-hmm,
to the flag, and I had 92 to carry the bulkhead on my line. Now, if in the pin was in the front right, the entire green's protected by marsh and bulkhead to the left. So if I go to the left in the center of the green, I probably have 102 carry.
Yeah.
And of course I can go to about 130 before I go to the back of the green, but then it's a downhill putt all the way. So
decisions.
Play it back in the stance and take.
Well, it's and I'm going to let Tom answer this for you. You make a decision, okay? That is, is it worth the risk to go quote unquote pin hunting if the penalty is possibly hitting the marsh and making double versus a safe position that at least you can hit it maybe middle green, or let's say you had a downhill 30 footer.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly simple to make a par if you're a decent putter and have a ping,
well,
or
not,
answer or something.
Not with that pin. Literally, I ended up being about 8 feet pin high, but I touched the putt and it was the left to right and broke 2 feet below the hole, just touching. So I had an easy par putt, but coming from up high, our greens are really fast.
Really fast,
great,
and slick.
But it's like, yeah. I mean, it's almost bail out short right in front of the green.
Yeah. What do you think, Tom?
Oh.
Again, I'm not familiar with that particular hole on that course. I haven't played in a while. I could answer you more specifically, but go ahead, Tom.
All right, Rick, are you a good putter?
Yeah.
Okay. So, number one, I'm going to be kind of like your caddy, and we're going to chat as we come up to you and we look at the situation. So
you're not going to pull out your green books for 5 minutes, are you, before you hit the shot? Okay, good. You know how much that bugs us. Go ahead.
Number one, you're already out of position because you're not in the fairway.
Right.
Okay? So you're already looking at a possible high number of five on the scorecard. Okay? So the first thing you have to do is when you get up to the ball, you have to set your goal. You, see, par is a distraction. Okay? So this is where the game kind of sucks you into its world, and it kind of owns you real quick and mentally, and you don't even know what hits you till you get, you know, home and start thinking about it maybe, or you may never even cross your mind. So number one, you're out of position. So you're already in a tough situation lie-wise. You've got a tucked pin. So are you a fader or a drawer of the ball?
With a short iron, I hit it pretty straight.
Okay.
Within plus or minus 5 yards either way.
Okay. Golf is about percentages of success. Mm-hmm. What can I do to give me the highest percentage chance of success? Okay, you play to your strengths. So you've admitted that you're a good putter. Probably sounded to me like your admission was you're a better than average putter. And you must be because you play on Marsh Creek and those greens they're nice. Okay?
They're right. Slick.
There you go. So the smart that's a sucker pin. So as your caddy is I'm going to advise you strongly to play for the two putt. Okay? All right, we're gonna take the pin out of position. So what the flag, the ball's the biggest distraction in the sport. The other largest distractions in the sport are the pin, the flag, the hole, where it's located. Okay. The first thing you always do is you find the middle of the green, because what that does is that kind of pacifies and sets aside the hole out of your mind for long enough for you to come to the reality is, okay, I don't have the superhero shot. I don't want to make that, because if I make that, I could make six or seven real fast.
Right.
So the play I would advise you as your caddy is we're going to hit, 110 yards into that middle of the green, and then we're going to spend more focus on two putting versus trying to make four.
Or three.
Or three. Birdie.
Yeah.
Two putting. He would make four.
You would
get 30 feet.
Yeah,
it's slick. But if you play that course regularly, I'm hoping that you have, a kind of a nice feel for how fast and slick the greens are, and you work on your putting a little bit. Is what?
See, we
I'm
obviously
assuming you do based on how accurately you had the yardage down. Just listening to you, how far you hit X amount of club. So you're a decent golfer. Yeah. You're not somebody who's guessing out here.
See, we obviously want to get the ball close to the hole and have a legitimate birdie chance. And that's what the game wants you to think like. Okay, to beat the game, you can't think like that. Example, if you miss a par three off to the side of the green, okay, your first thought should be, okay, four is the highest number I'm going to make here. Now, how do I get to four? All right. If you make four, you're mentally happy because that was a goal you set. You have more holes to play, so you can make that up. But guess how do you feel if you make three? Yeah, you feel great. And what happens if you chip it in and make two? Okay. You really just destroyed the golf hole, right? Here is now walk into the next tee. This is where you have to kind of gather yourself and really keep a handle and a rope on your emotions so you don't let your emotions ruin the next shot on the next hole.
Right.
Okay. So
were you playing stroke play and not match play, I'm assuming, right? Or just playing a game with your buddies or you weren't playing a tournament necessarily or anything?
No. I just went out one afternoon and just got nine in. It's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. There's nobody out there. I'll do that now and then. Just go play nine.
Don't let
on my game.
Don't let the architecture, whoever don't let the design of the course and visually what you see impair your proper decisions. Every approach shot has a red light, a yellow light, and a green light. Okay.
Yeah.
Where that pin was,
a green light, Tom.
Where that pin was, that's definitely a yellow light to a red. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There's no way I'd be shooting at that pin. And as your caddy, I'd say, if you try to take a club and shoot at that pin, I'm gonna throw all your clubs.
No, he's not.
In the lake, and you're gonna, we're gonna have a different choice. I hope that helps.
Right.
Okay.
It does. Now the question though, if I had a really good lie, I was 1 foot into the cut, and the ball was sitting up a bit, and it caused me to hit a little high in the club face and be a little short. how do you play that shot? You play the little back, take the extra club, and choke down. Even, you know, I mean, even going to the center of the green, if I play that shot, I've got to take another club. But a full pitching wedge is way too much to hit 110 yards. So I didn't catch a flyer. I caught a one groove up that caught just took enough off the ball to make it short.
Yeah, it goes a little higher and a little shorter, and yeah.
Yep. So when you hit a ball, it's like on a par three. If I want a ball to come in higher and softer, I tee it higher. Like, you know, if I'm hitting an 8-iron, because I want to hit it on the top part of the face. Okay.
Right.
So you don't have to change anything. What you have to do is stay in the moment and go through the thought process that you've built and recognize, okay, the ball's sitting up. Well, I don't want to really change too much in what I'm doing in my setup and all that. I'm going to recognize that I'm going to hit this ball high on the face. So that's going to hit it higher and shorter. So, yeah, I may not carry that bulkhead. So let's hit one more club and hit it in the middle of the green. If you happen to hit it high and shorter, you're going to be at the hole. So you took the bulkhead way out of play. So you have to, you know, people, you know, the game wants the golfer to make things complicated in their mind, okay? So you described the green and where the pin was and all that, and you let the green, okay, I believe you let the green kind of spook you in to try and make the hero shot. Oh, I don't want a long putt. It's going to be a downhill fast. And so you kind of already put a negative connotation in your mind that, wow, maybe I'm not that great a putter, and you didn't even realize it. All right.
Yeah, you know, and it's a short par four, and it's frustrating because when you got under 100 yards, you're thinking birdie. And like you said, it sucked you in.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
All right.
I did not. Yep.
So you.
Thank you.
If you hit your driver and you're in 100 yards, so maybe hit a shorter club so you can have a better percentage of being in the fairway and you can play to a different strength of your game, like a fuller wedge.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call, Pat.
Thanks.
And good luck out there.
Thank you.
Hey, Rick, that's awesome. You sound like a great player and you think well on the golf course. My advice would be just kind of step back and breathe a little bit and don't let the course suck you into its world by what you see. You know, think these things out, and I think you'll start shaving a few more shots because you're going to be in better position more times than not.
Yeah.
All right, cool beans. All right, hey, here's your word, Wolf Retirement word of the day. Ready?
Word.
Chris, Caddy, Mike, ready? Hung it out. The phrase in golf. What does that mean? Hung it out.
Hung it out.
Hung it out. And we're not talking laundry here.
We're not talking laundry.
Well, there was my guess.
There goes Chris's guess. Hung it out as a left-handed golfer. I hung it out. It's like I pushed it out to the left and just hung it out there. Caused by not finishing the swing, not releasing the club, something like that. If you're a right-handed golfer and you hang it out or hung it out, I would say that would be lost it to a little bit to the right. That's what it is to me.
Yeah, so if you're going to attempt to play like a draw and you hit it straight, you hung it out. If you're going to try to cut the ball or something and it doesn't move, cut left or right, and you hit it left, you hung it out.
I hung it out, though. So you can hang it out either way. Anyway.
You can, yeah.
I got you. Okay.
So that's just a little fun on phrase. I like the little phrases in golf because there's so many of them. And there's so many new people into golf. I think it's important that they learn the different phrases because it can make the game fun. Okay. All right. Tyson, don't go away. And we got 2 minutes. All right. So, Tyson, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, doing wonderful. Hope you guys are doing awesome.
We are awesome. You're awesome. We appreciate you calling in. What's up on your mind this morning?
You know, I've been wondering, when I go to the range, what's the difference between, like, when I'm going to the range just to practice, kind of, and when I'm going to the range to practice, like, warming up right before I go to the round? When I warm up right before the round, am I supposed to do a little bit different or just hit, you know, driver, 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 wedge. I mean, what's your opinion on that, Tom?
Well,
I mean, even Caddy Mike. I mean, Caddy Mike, what's your opinion? I mean, what do you guys think?
There's two basic mindsets, and you said them. If you're going on the range to work on a particular fundamental, not mindset, but a fundamental.
Yeah, that's going to be completely different.
Okay. That's all you do. You bring your 8-iron, you leave the rest of the bag at home because all the fundamentals apply to every club. So that's a work process. Then if you're going to warm up to play golf, first you stretch out. On your way to the golf course, you find a nice, easy rhythm, piece of music to listen to keep you from getting your heart going too fast before you get there. You stretch out, you warm up, and you see what you brung to the golf course. You don't go changing it, okay? Because that's what you're going to go play with. And you don't think mechanics or try to fix anything on the range in the going to the golf course warm-up session.
Yeah, exactly. You're not changing anything when you're warming up.
And would you recommend, Tom, like hitting, you know, half a dozen balls with a wedge and then maybe a 7-iron, hybrid. And I like to finish with the last club I hit. Tyson is the one I'm going to be hitting on the first tee. That's what you see most of the professionals do. But like Tom said, get a feel for how you're hitting it. Am I hitting it solid? Is it going high, low, draw, whatever? Because you just want to warm up the muscles.
And that's all you're doing, and
get a good feel for what you got today before you go to the course.
Yeah, you're not going to fix.
You're not. You can't
what
fix
needs to
anything.
Be fixed in the warm up cycle before you go play.
Yeah,
and that's what most people try to do. They go up there and they start hitting a few errant shots on the range, and then they get into this mechanical fix mode, and they try to take that to the golf course. No, in fact, when we come back, remind me, Caddy Mike, and let's talk a little bit about dimension A, dimension B in the game of golf. So we got to go to break. Are brought
Let's
to you by Worldwide Golf Shops, Edwin Watts Golf Shops, University of North Florida Golf Complex, and, of course, Ping Golf. Play your best, and we'll be right back.
Live here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Edwin Watts Golf Hour on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hey, welcome back this morning, and we were talking to Tyson. And, hey, Tyson, welcome back and hang in there.
So thank you.
I wanted to bring up about... Did you have any other questions?
No. I'll just expand on what you have here. And
cool.
What were you going to say?
All right. Let's talk a little bit about, here's your Wolf Retirement tip of the week. Okay, look. There's two dimensions. I call it dimension A, dimension B.
You got some Twilight Zone music,
when you play golf,
Chris.
Okay. And Annika called it box A, box B.
All right.
So Jack called it. Ooh. You know, 1-2 or whatever. So they all have a method. So I use the term dimension A and dimension B.
Mm-hmm.
I like that because it gives your mind, you live in dimensional world, right? Okay. Dimension A is the pre-shot routine. It's the thinking process. It's the evaluation process. Okay. It's a mechanical process of going through the fundamentals to
hit a shot,
envision a shot, choose the clubs, walk in and set
so
it to the ball.
All the decisions.
Yes.
Too. All,
yep.
Okay.
That's your decision world.
Here's your ball, or here's okay. your tee shot, and this is what you're going to do. Okay.
Dimension One of the big
A.
keys is you have to, once you're ready at the ball, you have done everything you can. That's it, and you're to be set up to make an action. You have to shift your mind totally out of that dimension and go to dimension B, which is empty in the brain. There's nothing there. It becomes dynamic. Action,
good
reaction.
Point.
Okay?
Okay.
The amateur golfer takes and lives in dimension A while they're moving the club and swinging it in dimension B, so they don't ever truly cannot reach
just
the next level. They just can't do it.
Let it rip.
And it's real easy because think about it. Everybody out there, you've probably had an extra ball in your pocket, so you get up to your first ball, and you chunk it, hit a shot, you didn't like the result, and there's nobody around, and you pull out the ball, throw it on the ground, step up, and swing.
You
don't even think.
Every time right at the pin.
And as Caddy Mike can always think and know and talk about it, is the second player is always the best.
Hey, well, golf is such a mental game. People forget that. You know, the brain is a muscle in a general sense. I mean, it is a muscle, so muscle memory comes down to that mental aspect of having your brain and that toughness.
Yeah, let's hit on that
you're talking about.
Yeah, Katie, Mike.
Does the second dimension, as you say, and one of the best people I've seen in the game right now that appears to do that to me is Ludwig Åberg. He's made up his mind, and he just, boom.
That's it.
He just swings. But what I wanted to ask and get Tyson's feedback on this, does that include accepting the results?
Absolutely.
No matter what happened instead.
See, the human, I mean? Yeah, the human is a result-oriented.
Like, look, I prepared. I did the best I can. Boom. And then now accept what happened, and then you move on to the...
Yeah, that's why we don't... That's why once the ball's gone, there's nothing you can do about it. That's why between from where you struck that shot and walking to the next ball or riding the cart to the next shot, you should be not thinking about anything.
I do talk to my ball after I hit it.
Trees are 70% air.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it goes towards the trees, I just hope it hits that 30% and it goes through it. But, you know, when I get up there and if it's exactly what Tom said, as soon as you hit that ball is gone in a general sense. And you have to accept the consequences of your shot. So you have to get up to the next shot and determine, hey, what lie do I have? Is it, you know, a little, am I in the first cut?
You start over with the what did you call it, Tom? The first dimension. You start over.
It's a process.
But by the way, it doesn't mean you can't hit a great shot and flush it and knock it stiff. I mean, that happens too. You know, and then you get pumped. You know, and it's like, wow, that was really cool. That was a lot of fun. But then you still gotta refocus your mental energies to make the putt, or let's say you hit a perfect drive, Tyson. Now you're focusing on your short iron to the green, or maybe you can get to the green in two on the five par or something. Of course, I'm the kind of guy that, remember we were talking about the drivable par fours. I'm the guy who would talk you into going for it, of course, and just blasting that driver when Tom would tell you to hit it, hit a hybrid in the fairway and probably make a better score.
All right, Tom, what about the third dimension? Exactly what Mike is talking about. I hit the perfect drive, and I have 50 yards. Do I hit that 50-yard pitching wedge? Do I hit the 60-degree, or I do a bump and run? I mean, I get the lot, you know, what I'm looking at, but
I suppose,
you know,
people
are so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
So what's that third dimension.
But it
depends on your skill set and what you have actually, let's say, worked on, how much you work on your short game kind of thing. A guy like you, work on your short game, you have some options.
Yeah, shout out to Miles Russell.
Okay,
this is where the
red, yellow, green stoplight comes into play big time. Yes, you have options. Well, the lie of the ball has a ton of that. The lie of the ball tells you, it eliminates most of those options right away, because you always have to think, all right, what can I do that's going to give me the highest percentage chance of success so my next shot is easier?
Percentage, I like that.
Okay, you always play percentages. And if you think about it that way, you're going to realize, well, the red, that means I'm not going to go for that tuck pin. There's no way. That's murder. I don't want to be short, have to take a penalty, you have to be in a bunker. You know, all kinds of bad things, okay? The yellow light is, okay, I can hit it a little bit longer than the pin. There's not much trouble behind the green. Okay, if I miss hit it, I'm around the pin. If I hit it long, I got a putt coming back to the hole. Or there's your green, okay? There's your green. So you got red, that's don't go. There's yellow, that's caution. There's green, that's go for it. So you have to weigh all these things before you pull the club out of your bag and see, you know, in your mind, see the ball fly and what you're going to do and decide what, you know, you have to go through that, okay? That's part of the fundamentals, is how to think on a golf course.
No, I agree, and that goes exactly back towards the driving range. You know, you take out that single club and you hit, you know, 50-yard shot with your 60-degree wedge and just hone in and dial it in.
Right, but here's the thing. Do you hit off grass or mats?
Both.
Okay. So a mat is very forgiving, and it's good for grinding out some fundamental things in your mind.
Or maybe swing.
Okay, so
what
the grass does is, okay, number one, I'm not going to sit there and hit 160-degree wedges or 107 irons, because when the ball's back on the ground, it's a different lie. Okay, so one swing, I might hit a 60-degree wedge. On the course, you know, warming up or something, I actually play holes in my mind, and I don't put the ball in the same perfect lie that they give you at the driving range every single time. I just throw it on the ground and I look at it first. That teaches me to always recognize the lie of the ball first, because that's going to dictate a lot of things in the technique you're going to use to advance the ball carefully, so your next shot is easier. Hmm.
What do you think about this, Tom? I've heard people say, let's say, or Tyson, you're playing such and such a golf course, and you would do either your warm-up session or a practice session that was like, okay, I'm going to play number one at whatever course it is, and it's a drive and a seven-iron shot. Okay, number two is 175-yard par three. Okay, that's going to be a six-iron or something like that. I'll hit a six iron. Visualize in my mind, I'm hitting these shots, and then just the basics. I know when reality is not going to be the same as that, but if mentally you focused on playing golf holes right in your mind, or hitting shots that apply to the course you're playing today, Tyson, as opposed to just I'm just ripping, trying to hit full shots.
Yeah, just gripping and ripping it.
Yeah, see what I see. A big mistake I see individuals do is they go to the golf course and try to play every iron shot the same way around the golf course. Let's say if I were to put you in the fairway on 14 holes, Tyson.
Okay.
I just toss a ball on the ground and you're in the middle of the fairway.
You shoot 65, wouldn't you, Tyson?
Okay.
Hold on. I'm
going to put you in the middle of the fairway and different distances from the center of the green on each hole.
Okay.
But the ball's going to be sitting differently on the ground. Okay. So
it's
one
fairway,
hole.
Fairway, but they're not all good lies.
All right. Well, actually, let's do it this way. I'm going to put at 115 yards on every hole of 14 holes, I'm going to place the ball for you in the fairway somewhere. Okay. Now it's up to you to be able to look at that ball and decide, well, okay, 115. Well, that's normally my wedge. Okay. I'm going to hit a wedge. So the average golfer for 14 of those holes are going to hit their wedge. Well, they're going to make a lot of mistakes because the ball could be sitting down. So you got to get steep on the ball. You get steep, several things can happen. You can thin it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to cut. You could double cross and pull it. So these are all the things you have to kind of go through in your pre-shot preparation and routine to choose the right tool for that job. You might end up using a 7-iron to get the ball up around the green. And
yes, I really like that.
What if you got a sucker pin? Okay, if you're locked in on that pin, you're not paying attention to the lie of the ball because that hasn't become part of your pre-shot routine and preparation. So you've missed a major step, and no wonder you just made a triple.
Man, golf is so mental. I can't agree more with what you're saying right now, Tom.
So what the average golfer doesn't do is they don't go out and practice hitting the ball from different lies.
Different ways to approach the same distance of a shot. The more ways, Tyson, you have to play, you have to hit certain shots, the better golfer you are. And also, you're kind of a creative guy anyway. I think that makes it more fun to say, I can hit a trap draw 8 from 130, you know, 135 instead of trying to hit a gap wedge or a pitching wedge change trajectory and spin and just have more fun with it.
All right.
I've seen professionals, flop shot a 4-iron essentially. So, you know, it's just how you can actually use that tool, like Tom was saying, and how you understand, you know, the imagination and yeah, that's what I got on it.
That's it. So spend more time learning how to approach the ball from different lies. Okay, we got to go to break. Tyson, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time so much. Caddy Mike, Tom, appreciate it. Have a wonderful
You got
weekend.
It, brother. Have a great week.
All right, we'll be right back. Brought to you by Ping Golf. Play your best. And don't go away. We got one more small segment. So we'll be right back.
Live on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Edwin Watts Golf Hour on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
We're back. Welcome. Thanks for joining us this beautiful Saturday morning. I hope you learned something and enjoyed our conversation. Don't forget, folks, University of North Florida Golf Complex presents 9 holes, 4 beers, a pull cart. Got to be 21 and over for just $30 all day, every day to play the shoe. It's a par 3 9-hole golf course right there at the golf complex. So please check it out. And, of course, if you get the 4 beers, drink responsibly. Caddy Mike, we had some sad news this week.
Yeah, we did. One of the really great gentlemen, one of those people who had a great golf career and then followed up with a great announcing and broadcasting career, Peter Oosterhuis, British player, imposing figure, about 6'5 or 6'6, won a tremendous British player for GB and I. On the GB&I Ryder Cup team, won the Order of Merit 1970 through 1974, 4 straight years. Had 6 singles wins in the Ryder Cup, beating, among others, Arnold Palmer and so on. Won the Canadian Open over Jack Nicklaus, his lone PGA Tour event. And he played the PGA Tour for several years, but he was a very stylish player. I love the way he hit the ball. It sounded like a rocket coming off of his wooden club. He hit the ball so solidly. But then he transitioned to a broadcasting career, and he was, I don't know how many years, Tom, he was on the 17th hole at the Masters. But he was one of these people that didn't have this huge ego, didn't have a boy. He was very gentlemanly in everything he did. And was a really a really great broadcaster, a really great player. So best to his family for Peter Oosterhuis, who passed a few days ago at age 75.
He won 10 tournaments.
Yeah.
Besides Ryder Cup, he went and won 10 tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
Big guy, big heart.
Yes.
Big individual, all the way around. Varden Trophy.
Yeah.
Order of Merit. I mean, very, very successful. You know, it's and a lot of people, here's for the young kids. It's amazing how many of the young kids today have zero golf history.
Yes.
Learned. They you know, they like think this individual is just an announcer. And they're probably going to think that of Nick Faldo.
Yeah.
See, you know, I mean, they were something before they were on TV as an announcer, most likely.
Yeah.
Okay? So, anyway... we're getting the magic music to kick on down the fairway. So we want to thank you for joining us. Hey, look, folks, if you want to build a golf game for a lifetime, go to the University of North Florida Golf Complex. Also, reach out if you want to learn more about the game and try to build a improved game and enjoy it better. Call me, the Golf Detective, at 904-990-3377, or you can text that number or email golfdetective@yahoo.com. And we want to thank you for joining us each week. We're brought to you by Ping Golf. Play your best. University of North Florida Golf Complex, where you build a game for a lifetime. Edwin Watts Golf Shop in your own backyard. And Worldwide Golf Shops. Check out their website and find out where they are located on your golf travels. And Wolf Retirement Navigation. And we will see you down the fairway.